Welcome to the Pig Health Today podcast, where we talk all health all the time. Hear engaging interviews with today's leading industry experts. Hosted by Pig Health Today editors, podcast episodes highlight the latest ideas, insights, and advice to improve pig health, welfare, and performance.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stocks with Pig Health Today, and we're here with Brad Lewerke, who's a swine veterinarian at the Swine Vet Centre. Brad, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
So you're talking to us today about managing bacterial pathogens, some of which can cause major issues and losses for both growing and adult pigs. Can you briefly talk us through some of the biggest issues in terms of bacterial pathogens and how difficult it is to manage them?
So what we see in swine herds that we work with, a couple different bacterial pathogens, one being Strep suis that causes mortality in both nursery pigs and can also cause mortality and health challenges in young pigs in lactation before they're weaned. And another bacterial pathogen, Haemophilus parasuis, kind of the same background, causing mortality in growing pigs. And they're challenging because they don't always respond well to antibiotic treatments. What they need to do to try and control those is, along with antibiotic treatment, try to stabilize the herd and make sure that the shedding that happens in farrowing is reduced. So there's a lot of different management strategies that we put in place to control that shedding that happens.
You've mentioned that one of your focuses is on controlling colonization of pigs with some of these pathogens. What exactly does that entail?
Yeah, so colonization is really, when we think about the bacterial pathogens that affect pigs and cause disease, a lot of those are transmitted to the piglet right at birth or shortly thereafter. And I think what drives the severity of future disease is the amount that those pigs are colonized with. We can't, at least at this point in time, we've not figured out a way to get that to zero. So what we really want to do is try and have a controlled colonization so that pig can build an immune response to be able to deal with that bacterial pathogen, but not be overwhelmed. Because when they're overwhelmed, especially with more of the disease-causing bacterial organisms, that's when disease sets in and causes health challenges and mortality.
So how important is it to get gilts from the same source in controlling some of these pathogens?
In our experience, quite important. I think what we see is that different sources of gilts carry with them different, I'll call them strains or serotypes of these bacterial pathogens. So when we have a herd that's, I'll say, used to one form of strep or one form of Haemophilus parasuis, if we bring in another source of gilts that has a different strain that may be more pathogenic than the one the herd is used to, that strain becomes more dominant and causes a whole cascade of disease as that herd, I'll say, becomes used to that or becomes immune to that pathogen.
So how do you acclimatize the gilt for dealing with a certain strain?
It really comes down to trying to obtain that gilt early in her life, so as a young wean gilt or feeder age gilt, so that we can start exposing her to animals from the herd that she's going to eventually go into. And when we do that, the shedding or the transmission from the existing population to that gilt gets her exposed, gets her immune to that bug, so that hopefully when she farrows, she's not shedding as much of that to her offspring, which leads to future disease.
And how long does that take to actually achieve that?
I don't think we completely know for many of the bacterial pathogens we talk about. It's not a rapid process. It's not a days or weeks. We're talking more months, partly because it takes some time for those animals from the population that we bring in to acclimate our replacement gilts. The shedding is intermittent, and so we can't say that the day we bring them in that they're already shedding. That might take a few weeks for that to happen, and then those replacement gilts have to go through the disease and then become immune, and so it's a very long process. And I would say that, again, we don't know the exact time for each of those pathogens, but we know the longer you can bring a longer period of time you can have from the obtaining a gilt to bring it into the herd, the better off you are, the more stable you are.
What effect does mycoplasma and other viral diseases have on bacterial infections?
Yeah, we know that viral pathogens, so PRRS, influenza, circovirus, and then mycoplasma, when pigs are infected with those pathogens, the shedding of secondary bacterial pathogens, so the ones that we're talking about, is increased. And so something like mycoplasma, when that's going on, that just increases the amount of those pathogenic bacteria that are, number one, shed by the pig, and number two, just that the pig replicates themselves. And so we just see an increased challenge dose to those pigs. And when that happens, the chance of disease and mortality is increased.
So how important are things like sanitation measures in trying to deal with this and reduce bacterial outbreaks?
Very important. When we talk about colonization of the pig, so basically seeding down the pig with these bacterial pathogens, when we have poor sanitation or unsanitary processing procedures, things that we do in that first few weeks of that pig's life, when we're bad at that, or when that's poor, we increase the amount of bacteria that those pigs are exposed to, and thereby, what I think or what I see, increase the amount of bacterial challenge that pig has later on in life.
So biosecurity is of the utmost importance.
Certainly is. Again. Yeah. Yep.
In terms of vaccinations, you touched on it briefly at the beginning. What options are available?
For most of the bacterial pathogens that we deal with, commercial vaccines are not available, but we do have the ability to put together what we call autogenous vaccines. And really that's using the bacterial pathogen on farm. And there's a process that we go through to make sure it's the one or the ones that are causing disease. We can put that back into a vaccine in an attempt to try to immunize, so build immunity in the, number one, the adult population, and number two, we can do it in the growing pig also to build their immunity to those specific bacterial pathogens that are causing disease.
And what about antibiotics? Are they an option as well?
Certainly are. We do have good luck when we have a clear diagnosis of what bacterial pathogens and their are causing disease and their sensitivity. We have had luck with whether that be an antibiotic in lactation for the sow to reduce shedding to the piglet, and or use an antibiotic to the piglet at weaning, for example, to reduce the amount of bacterial challenge it has as it goes into the nursery. We've had luck using those too. But I think that's part of a bigger program that includes vaccine, gild acclimation, and also reducing viral and mycoplasma challenges in those pigs too.
Mm. So just to finish up then, what would be your biggest piece of advice, or your one piece of advice, for both veterinarians and producers in dealing with bacterial pathogens?
Well, I would say, number one, it's when we deal with bacterial pathogens, it's never an easy or one-size-fits-all control. Each farm is a little bit different, number one, in the bacterial pathogens that they deal with. And number two, like I talked about, the things that we do to try to control bacterial disease. Some herds it may be reducing the viral and mycoplasma challenges. Other herds it may be gild acclimation. And what we find is a lot of herds it's a combination of all of those things. And so really when I look at bacterial control, I think we can look at those three or four things, but a lot of times it's a combination of them that come together to reduce bacterial challenge in growing pigs.
Thanks for listening to the Pig Health Today podcast. To get the latest news and interviews delivered to your inbox twice a week, subscribe to our e-newsletter by visiting pighealthtoday.com/join.